You're listening to the Workshop Podcast, Episode 3. Today we're chatting with Sue Worden, previous TV host of Craftscapes that aired for 16 years. Are you looking to build your DIY creative business? Welcome to the Workshop Podcast, a place to inspire, gather, and connect with other creatives. To help grow your impact and your creative business, I'm your host and business coach, Jacqueline Diaf. Hi there, I'm super excited today because I am here chatting with Sue Worden. So welcome to the Workshop Podcast. She's going to share her story about how her creative talents turned into a 16-year television career. Her passion for creating, love of crafts, and DIY turned into a long-running crafting career on Life Network, now HGTV. She's sharing her views about creative businesses, effective workshop leadership skills, and her view of how creativity can impact how you feel. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jacqueline. This is fun.
Oh, super pleasure. So starting off my podcast, and so I am so excited to have you as a guest and that you are taking the time out to do this, because I know that we're all busy and we have lots going on. But when it comes to the topic of creating, I think I can say that that's something that you are super passionate about.
I am very passionate about it. And it's funny because I've been talking with friends lately about the fact that when you have that passion and when that's almost innate, it's something that you have to do. You know, when you're not doing it, or when you have a lull, and I have a pretty creative job right now, but I still need to have my fingers in the pie. It feeds your soul. It feeds your soul. And that's kind of the best way I can describe it. If I'm not at something, or I don't have a project that's kind of on the go, I'm always looking for something to get involved with. So yeah, absolutely. Very passionate about it.
Can you tell us a bit about, I guess, your history?
Sure. So, I mean, this goes back to when I was really pretty small. I started making things and started, you know, I was always a big artsy gal. I loved my art classes. So it started, started pretty early. And then I have to say that, you know, I had my son, and when I was home with my son, I think that was the first time that I really decided, okay, I'm going to get into this as, I'm going to create a business, get into it as a business, but really it was for the love of hands-on. It was for the love of creating things, making things, and that kind of developed from there into my first business. And next thing you know, I was doing craft shows and I was kind of traveling all over the place. And a move kind of facilitated me from coming from kind of northern Ontario back down to kind of the area that I grew up in with, which is kind of outskirts GTA. And then Michael's the Arts and Crafts Store happened in Canada. And I was on board with them, the first store that opened in Oakville. They hired me. I just wanted kind of part-time. They hired me full time, and I was responsible for teaching. I did all the classes and hiring all the instructors and teaching myself. And then they were working with, I don't know whether your listeners go back as, you know, we sort of go back as far as Lynette Jennings. She was a big designer, DIYer, and she actually invited someone from Michael's to come on her show, and that's how I got my television start.
What?
I did five segments with Lynette. I knew what I was doing, in that I know what I'm doing when I have my hands on something, but to be in front of a camera, that was kind of my first experience. So it was one of those things where I guess you might say right place, right time, doing exactly what you love to do. And then from there, I started doing segments on different television shows. And then I was approached by what was then Life Network, which then of course became HGTV Canada. and they were kind of looking to do a Canadian craft show. There wasn't anything in Canada at the time. Of course, Martha Stewart was huge at that point. Aileen's, there were several in the US, and the network was really looking to do a Canadian craft show, and that's kind of how it came to be, and it was kind of put out there. I'm one of these people that I generally don't say no. So I was out there, and I was, sorry, that's my husband coming in the door. And I was offered, this opportunity to create my own show, which was fabulous. Yeah.
That's kind of how it came to be. Oh my goodness. So I listen to this and I think, oh my goodness, that's like the dream job. But obviously with any job that you get to be creative, now you're like front and center creating. Now, did that take that element of like that joy of creating out of
Not really. That's interesting. And I understand where you're kind of going with that, because sometimes when we start, when we're doing something and all of a sudden it becomes less of a hobby and more of a job. And, you know, does that kind of take that magic away? I think for me, because I was the creative director of the show, I had the wherewithal at that point in time to say, you know, I need to be, this is my face, my name, and I need to know exactly what we're doing in front of the camera. So I had control is probably the best word to have. I had kind of creative control on that. And so that just, I mean, we were shooting a lot of shows very quickly. We had to kind of bring all of this together. I was honestly having the time of my life, but I think that the big thing about that too, was that we were promoting this, I can't say this enough. I had the opportunity, was blessed with the opportunity to promote and encourage Canadian crafters, well, really all over the world, but in my situation, Canadian crafters and artisans. So we had a segment of the show where we were traveling across the country and we were basically giving creative people a 5-minute commercial on the show, per se, you know, if you want to look at it that way. So we did a segment with, every show had a segment with a crafter or an artisan. So that was, that to me, having that opportunity to help others and you know, kind of encourage their creativity and keep things running, you know, kind of going in that part of the show was really very heartfelt for me. Yeah, so
totally. Connecting with other creatives and
exactly
what other people are doing
and you know, often as makers, we know that sometimes marketing ourselves, getting ourselves out there, if we are doing it as a business, that's a difficult thing to do. It's tough to kind of break in and kind of market yourself and get yourself out there. So this was an opportunity to work with these, you know, work with others, like-minded people, but also, also hopefully help down the road as well. So, so I got
the opportunity to shine, right?
Yes, exactly. And so interesting for us to watch these amazing glass blowers and, just for everything from scrapbooking to glass blowing to, you know, working with metal and all of these incredibly talented people. I just feel really honored that I was able to be a part of their lives.
Yeah. It's awesome. So I think a lot of our listeners here are all, you know, in the business of DIYing or crafting, and are also looking at perhaps leading workshops, teaching other people, or they already currently do that. So, I mean, we're trying to teach our talents to the local community, right? And embrace all of that too. So, there's so much value in people's skills and talents in any creative medium that they work with. And so I think it does attract a lot of people, but then people also aren't confident in their abilities to actually be creative themselves. So as a, I don't know if I want to call you a workshop leader, but you led this creative industry and really helped it grow. So as a leader, what are some skills that were an asset to you in teaching?
That's a really good question. And I have done, in sort of following up on that, I have done a lot of teaching, lot of workshops. Yeah. Again, when we talk about passion, that's a huge passion, is to pass on, hopefully pass on. I mean, I always used to say, even if you just get one little nugget of information when you're taking a course or when you're going to a workshop or whatever, it's worth going. So I have done a lot of teaching, and that is, I think such a gift for us to pass on what we are, you know, what we love and that passion. I think that's a big part of it when you do go into, to teaching, is to be passionate about what you're doing. So that's number one. It's contagious. If you love what you're doing, and people see that you love it and you enjoy being there and that connection is there, that's, you know, that's primary to having a good workshop. I also would say as well is to start off smaller. So instead of trying to do 15 in a workshop, start off doing maybe 4. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I will often say to people that are, you know, want to teach is to start by having your friends together, right? So it helps you build the confidence. Mm-hmm. So 3 or 4 of your friends, and do that first, and maybe do the same project that you're hoping to offer other members of the community, right? So that you build that confidence, then you can go into another, and then you build up, and where you're starting to, okay, you know what, maybe I can handle doing 6, or maybe I can handle doing 8. I will often say too, because I've done everything from very small to very large workshops, when I go above 10 people, I always make sure that I have help in the room.
Yeah.
And so setting your own limits with respect to what you feel, these people are coming to you, they're paying for your workshop, and you want to make sure that they feel gratified when they leave, that they feel good about what they've done. And so if you feel that you need to have a couple of people with you to do a little bit of running for you, or help that person who's just having a little bit of challenge till you're able to kind of, you know, then I would also say that's key as well. Make sure you have enough help.
Yeah, I totally get it. As a DIYer, my motto too is, it is about do it yourself, but not alone. You do
exactly.
Not have to ask for help.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, I think we also have to keep in mind that generally speaking, you're going to have people in your class, you're going to have all varied levels, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's worth talking about as well. You're going to have people that have never touched a stencil brush, that have never done any stenciling, that have never painted before. I'm always really, when I advertise my workshops, I'm really astute about making sure that I say, this is a beginner workshop. However, if you have experience or you still want to do it, no problem. Just understand that it is a beginner workshop, so that people that maybe have done a little bit of work before or have done a little bit of painting, they know that when they come into that classroom, that we're going to be moving at that pace. We're going to be moving at a slower pace. Mm-hmm. Because these, you know, most of the people have maybe never done anything or have limited, you know, small amounts of experience. And so you want to make sure that you set yourself up that way before you start to move forward. The other little tip that I always pass along, and that I'll keep in mind myself, is I always ask people to stay with me. So, you know, you may feel that we're moving at a slower level, but You know, stay with me, because if you move ahead and I haven't moved ahead, right? You know, it's a little bit harder to kind of go back and fix something. So just kind of bear with the class, you know, kind of move along at the same level. So I kind of set myself up when I go into class and I start to teach. I'm kind of setting myself up in that regard. And that just lends itself for a great class. The other thing is, I always will say to my students, it's imperative that you leave happy, that you're satisfied with what you do. I don't want anybody walking out that is not happy with their project. We will make sure that you feel confident and that you're happy with it. And whatever we need to do in order to get you there, that's what we're going to do. Oh, and it just takes that angst. I talk about that right off the top. It takes that angst away if they happen to be, a little bit uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah.
So those are things that I really kind of stick to, those particular tips.
So awesome. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for sharing that with our listeners. So those are amazing leadership skills that will help with the success of a workshop. So where do you get your ideas, and how do you know a good idea to teach from something that's like not a good idea?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question, because there are some things out there that are not necessarily good ideas for workshops. You probably experienced it, right?
Yeah.
I guess I kind of zero in on the painting thing, because that's where my interest really lies right now. You know, where a lot of us are, we're upcycling, we are making, you know, we're making signs, we're, you know, that's very popular right now, right?
Yeah.
So you always have to take into consideration drying time. If something takes a long time to dry, you have to kind of work backwards and say, okay, what can we do in that time when that particular thing is drying, you know, in order to kind of keep everybody happy. And maybe that's a time when you stand back and you maybe talk about the product, or you talk about other ideas, or you, so organization is huge. I feel anyway, with respect to workshops, making sure that your time, you kind of work out. And in order to do that, I do it myself always. Always do it yourself first before you decide to teach it, right? You can kind of go on the internet. There's tons of great ideas, but it's not necessarily going to work out in that two-hour time frame that you have, or maybe that two-hour time frame or that two-hour workshop really isn't a two-hour workshop. Maybe it's an all-day thing or half-a-day thing. So you'll know yourself by creating that project yourself, right? And then it's like, oh, well, I didn't take that into consideration, so I have to rethink it. So that to me is important to know before you go into it. And there are things that just aren't great workshop ideas. You soon know, you know, when you make it yourself and, oh yeah, okay, that's not working too great. Yeah, so
that's not going to work out. Well, project.
Yeah, moving on to the next project. And of course, also cost, you know, working out your costs as well. You may love that massive clock, and wouldn't that be great to teach? Maybe not necessarily cost effective. So maybe in order for you to do that and make it worth your time, because, you know, we don't necessarily, certainly we love what we do, but we also have to make a living, right? So if you're doing that for that reason, so you want to make sure if something is going to be, you know, a workshop that's going to cost $150, do you have, you know, does that work with your community? Do you think that there are going to be enough people that are going to be able to afford that? So that's also something, you know, to kind of keep in mind. And I also find that that becomes very evident when you start to teach and you form a group and they start kind of following you and going to the next project and the next project. You kind of get a feel for, you know, what people are looking for. So I'm big on listening, I'm also big during a workshop on asking people what they'd like to see.
That's I love that tip, because your customers will actually tell you what they're looking for next. And what they're asking is like, how can I give you more money so I can make whatever it is that they want?
Exactly.
Which is like, if we don't listen to what the customer is saying, we're missing out.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we may be thinking, well, you know what, my workshops, I really can't price them past $65. Well, you know, maybe there's this group that is not able to go beyond that, but then you've definitely got another group that will, right? Yeah. The kind of avid DIYers, and they want to, you know, they want to kind of take it to the next level.
Totally. And being able to transfer your skills. So when you can get a customer into a workshop who is a beginner, and you get them to gain the confidence, and then they can then have the skills to take the more advanced classes, because that actually is something that they would take pride in.
Absolutely.
In learning more. And there's something to say about, gaining that confidence too, to be able to create, because it's something that we don't ever, well, women don't generally prioritize that it's important for them to create if they only knew what the benefits were. So what are some of the benefits that our customers can get from a creative opportunity in a workshop setting?
Well, I think first and foremost, another really great question. I think first and foremost, it's taking you out of your head. So it's a relaxation, a calming thing. And it might not be, you know, if you do have a little bit of anxiety about, you know, well, I don't have a creative, I've heard it so many times, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Well, yes, you do. That's my answer. Yes, you do.
And you're not going to bring it out.
Yeah.
And that's all for experiencing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that whole confidence building, you know, that whole, once they get kind of past that angst, and that's why I'll just kind of reiterate what I said earlier about my kind of language going into a class, going into a workshop, is this is my guarantee to you. This is my guarantee to you. You know, this is how I teach. Yeah. You are going to be happy at the end of this. Whatever difficulty you're having or whatever it is that you are not necessarily happy with, we're going to make sure that we figure that out. So I think that immediately you just get that kind of calming, you know, they just kind of calm down. And then once they get, you know, be it a stencil brush onto the stencil or whatever the case may be, that relaxation aspect of it, and then sense of accomplishment, right? Walking out the benefits of feeling that level of accomplishment. You and I also try to make it something that is usable, either, you know, as a gift, or like the actual project itself as a gift, something that you want to put in your home, that kind of thing. There's no point in kind of walking out with something that is not necessarily usable, or why did I do that, or, you know, so that's the thought process that has to go into it as well before you actually offer a workshop. So I would say sense of accomplishment, the calming aspect of it, the camaraderie, you know, the making of new friends in this environment. I just think that, and also learning something new, you know, if it's not something you've ever done before. I teach painting, but I also teach floral. I'm a floral designer. So, you know, I work with Fresh, and I work with, you know, Everlasting. And so, you know, you kind of know that there's that feeling of, I can't believe I did this. This is awesome. And they're going to come back as well, because they want to take it to the next level. So the benefits of that, you know, creativity and exploring your creativity, and, no matter how small the class is, or no matter how small the project is, there's nothing that beats that level of that feeling of accomplishment. That's what I feel anyway. And it's like I said to you before, if I'm not involved in something, I miss it. You know, it feeds my soul. I have to, it's one of those things that, that's when I'm the happiest.
Yeah.
So.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have customers that come back and they say, you know what? I could be doing this or I could be sitting at a bar.
That's this right. Is that's what, right. Yeah. Or like, in front of the television or, you know, it is our, it's a pastime. It's a hobby, but it's truly a love. You fall in love with it. You really do. And, it's certainly something that's been a huge part of my life, all my life. And, you know, I'm starting to teach again and I haven't done it for a while and I just can't wait. I'm so excited, you know, because I've been doing other things and, life happens and, I haven't had the chance to teach a lot lately, so I'm getting back to it now, and I'm so really excited about it.
I welcome you with open arms if you're ever in the Vancouver area. Come and teach in my store.
I would love that. I would love that. That would be so much fun. I do get around, not as much as I used to, but I do travel a fair amount, so.
There you go.
Do that.
Well, you are definitely an inspiration to me. I remember watching you on TV, the whole beginning of, you know, Michaels and crafting and taking something from nothing and making it something. And to me, the benefits that I get out of creating something is that I can showcase it in my home and I can remember what that felt like making it. And those benefits just like are always front and center in the home. So it makes it household home too, right?
You know, it's interesting because I read an article for a local magazine here, and that is exactly what I just wrote about, was a house is a house until you make it a home. And part of that is showcasing your personality. And part of showcasing your personality are these things that you come up with and you have fun doing. And even if it's a matter of, you know, one of my favorite wall treatments is framing wallpaper. You know, I don't make the wallpaper, but you find something you love and you frame it. And I mean, it's just a great way to enhance a big wall, especially. And so things like that. I agree with you 100%. We have a bit of a joke around here, actually, about... I'm constantly changing things, constantly, you know, color schemes and pillows. And I have a love for pillows. I just really love them. And so every time my husband turns around, it's like, okay, so we're going from that to that now. And there's usually three or four more pillows added. And poor guy, much to his chagrin, constantly tossing them all over the place. But yeah, it's just what you love to do. I love change.
Yeah. And changing with the seasons and colors and those accent things are the easiest things to change. So why not change them, right?
Absolutely. And actually seasonal, you know, to that point, seasonal things are fun to make, right? Because you know, you're making something for a purpose, you know, it's going outside or, I love, you know, creating for Christmas. So much fun, you know, for that time of the year. Right. So, yeah.
Awesome. Making for yourself and for others. I can only imagine we could spend every hour of the day making stuff. Those of us who are lucky enough to have turned our creative businesses into a business, the ability to offer that service to others in our local community as well is the more we can empower others and help others and share our gifts. Just amazing.
Yeah, it's such a feeling of accomplishment for us too, you know, and it's a love for what we do, and then certainly passing that on. And I think that it just takes a little bit of, you know, kind of organization and you just have to kind of dive in, you know. I'm one for making sure all my ducks are in a row before I'm that organized kind of person. And I've had to really learn to, okay, you know what? I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to set this up and let's just get the room booked and let's go for it, you know? And then I do my prep work. You know, I find that that's really important is prepping, you know, making sure you're ready. But yeah, so, passing it on, it's awesome.
So for someone who is very new to leading workshops, but they're a very creative person, so you have given that tip of being organized as one of the key elements, but what is one thing that we can do to overcome that fear of just diving in?
I think for me, I know for me that if I'm flying by the seat of my pants, that's not a comfort level for me. So for me to sit down and organize so that I know if it's on paper, okay, here's what I want to teach. Here's where I need to get my materials. What does each individual student need to have? Do they need their own brush? Do they need their own stencil? Or are they sharing? Or all those little details. And there's always things that are going to happen in a class that you can't anticipate, right? That, you know, so you just, I think, and again, like I said before, is starting small. You know, to build your confidence. Don't feel that you have to put 15 people or 10 or even 10 people in a class. That's overwhelming. And you're better off to just, you know, kind of start with a few and friendly faces. So perhaps friends, you know, that are willing to kind of be your guinea pig and go with the flow. And then ask for their feedback, almost like a focus group. That's how I started. I started doing just smaller groups. And then at the end of the day, kind of looking at my time and almost surveying them. So saying, did you feel the time worked? Did you feel like you had enough time? Did you like the project? Was it too much? Was it not enough? You know, that kind of thing and getting their feedback, that's really valuable. So that would be my main point to those just getting started, or my main advice is to, you know, don't worry about getting it out there and marketing it like crazy right off the top. Start with, you know, would you, a few friends coming to your house or whatever, wherever you can kind of set up. I'd like to teach you this. Would you be interested? And then get their feedback. And then that's going to give you the confidence to kind of move to the next step, which might be, you know, putting it out there and offering that same class. You know, that's something else. Okay, well, I've offered this to three or four of my friends. I'm going to take that class and now I'm going to broaden it a little bit and I'm going to open it up to maybe six people that are not necessarily people that I know, you know? And then again, that's like a confidence builder. You feel good about what you did. You got feedback. You know what not to do the next time or what to do the next time. And then you kind of build from there. Yeah. Best thing ever is just to start small. Don't overwhelm yourself.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Tips. Love it. So can you tell all of our listeners the name of the show that you produced?
Yes. So when I started, the name of the show was Sue Warden Craftscapes.
Yeah.
We did, I'm not sure how many episodes, well over 500 episodes of that show. And then I moved on to do a show called Sue Warden Creative Decor. And that was definitely, the first show was definitely a crafty craft show, right? So making projects and things like that. And then I wrote a book called Sue Warden Creative Decor. And that was more about kind of what I'm teaching and what I'm doing now, which is hands-on DIY projects for your home. Different ways that, and also totally upcycling. So taking things, changing them from this to that kind of thing, you know, in all different genres, from floral to painting to stenciling to all different sort of art forms. So I mean, I think we were on air, gosh, probably 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I believe that your book is sold on Amazon.
The book is still on Amazon. Yeah. Creative Decor is still on Amazon. Yeah. So I wrote three in total. I did Sue Warden Craftscapes, which I don't think is in print or is not available anymore. Creative Decor, which is still on Amazon. And then I did another one called Creative Occasions, which was all about gift wrapping and gift giving. And so that was a fun book. I'm not sure if that's available on Amazon or not at the moment, but yeah, so there was three in total, which was also so fun writing, you know, creating projects and then seeing that come together. What a project that is to see a book come together. You know, I never, I didn't anticipate earlier in my earlier days that I would ever be writing a book, but you know, life takes you in great directions. And I always like to say too, you know, if you follow your passion, you know, because we talk about money a lot, obviously it's a big part of our lives. And I really believe that if you follow your passion, the money will come. So if you focus on that passion, you're passionate, that's contagious. Other people want to be around you. They want to take classes from you because you're passionate about what you do. You love what you do. And the money follows. It's just the way life works somehow. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, for all of you listeners, follow that creative passion of yours, because we know that it has value and you can earn an income doing it. So have the confidence with your skills and share it with your community. Share it with everyone. Sue, thank you so much for your time. I know I have thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, and I sure hope our paths cross again. Would love to stay in touch. And for all of our listeners who wanted to be in touch with you, I guess go check out Amazon, right? Go buy a book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do have a Facebook page now, actually, a business page, a Facebook business page. It's called Sue Warden Design. So okay. I'm on there, and you know, I can't say that I'm really new to Facebook, but I'm definitely more active now than I've ever been before. So, you know, yeah, and I've really enjoyed speaking with you too, Jacqueline. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
This is going to be so much fun. So if you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, I don't want you to miss an episode. Be sure to follow me on Facebook at Jacqueline DIY. And for more free content, video, and solid advice to build your creative workshop business and be inspired, please visit JacquelineDIY.com.